Welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm Susie Colick, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, a self-defense program for women I developed based on my experiences as a violent crime survivor and my 24 years of training in the Japanese art of ninjutsu. Every few episodes, we feature an interview with a special guest, and this is one of those episodes. Today, we're going to be speaking with Julia Brasch. Julia was born and raised in Germany, currently living in Berlin, and is a martial arts student and teacher, and a Pretty Deadly certified self-defense trainer, as well as one of our master trainers, meaning she can certify other fitness and martial arts pros for Pretty Deadly self-defense trainer certification. But before I go on, it's almost time for my favorite event of every year, the Final Girls Film Fest in Berlin. Final Girls Film Fest showcases horror cinema that's directed, written, or produced by women and non-binary filmmakers. Pretty Deadly has been a part of the film fest since 2017, and the lineup of films, presentations, talks, and workshops just gets better and better every single year, especially the films. If you love intelligent, sometimes funny, sometimes profound, always terrifying, and beautifully produced horror films, you have to get in on this film festival. It's coming up here in Berlin from February 7th through 11th, and you can check out the schedule and get tickets at finalgirlsberlin.com. And if you're not in Berlin, there's an online option to attend as well, so you can still access all the films and extra events virtually. Check it out, finalgirlsberlin.com. Okay, back to our episode, chatting with martial artist, teacher, and self-defense instructor, Julia Brasch. Drawing on her training and experience that spans over 30 years, Julia recently transitioned from her corporate job into teaching martial arts and self-defense full-time. Julia Brasch. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Susie.
Nice to have you on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
So you are located here in Berlin.
Yes.
On the completely opposite side of town from me.
Kind of, yes. It's true.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yes. All right. Well, so we've known each other for a little while now. And before we get into that part of things, why don't you give us a little bit of your background with martial arts? What is the art that you train right now?
Mm-hmm. At the moment, I do train seven-star mantis kung fu. I started like 8 years ago with that, and I do my baby steps in Muay Thai as a sidekick.
Okay.
Right now, yes.
And what did you start with?
I started with Taekwondo like when I was 9. This is like a while ago, so more than 30 years. And yeah, I started that with when I was 9, as I said already. And actually, it was coincidence that I found that, because I was very influenced by TV. So Mr. Miyagi's fault that I joined martial arts, actually, because I fell in love with Karate Kid, which, as we all know, is Kung Fu.
Yeah.
By now. So, yeah. And living on the countryside is not that easy to find something which really suits you. But I was lucky because we had this very great club nearby where one of Germany's greatest fighters trained at that time, and I was very lucky to train with her and learn from her as well. So I had my female role models from early ages on, and also a fantastic head coach. So I had, yeah, the best start in martial arts, I could say.
I think that's really unusual for so many women, especially your I don't know how old you are, but I know that you're not in your 20s.
No.
No.
Double it.
Okay. So, but women who are basically like, you know, in their 40s and older who've started in martial arts, it's really unusual to meet a woman who said, oh, I was actually trained by women. My teachers were women. Yeah. That's so rare.
Yeah, totally. And as I said, really, really lucky, because at this time, this Taekwondo club was one of the well-known, highly recommended clubs in Baden-Württemberg, where I originated from. And in Katrin is my trainer, one of the still best fighters, technically Taekwondo-like. And that was my luck, really. And of course, preparation for this podcast, I thought about it even more. And I barely had male teachers at that time.
Wow. And
this is weird. Yes, that is really weird.
It's really weird.
And it was, of course, it was mixed genders, of course, and I had a lot of male training partners, but my head coach, of course, was male, but the others were the first, let me say, 4 or 5 years only female trainers.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
And I became one myself very early. So I took over the children's classes very early when I was like 14 or something. So it was like almost, I'm now turning 43 this year. So it's almost 20 years ago when I started teaching myself already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you, so, I mean, this seems like a sort of obvious question, but what kind of influence do you think having a woman trainer, a female trainer, as your role models had on you? It's impossible to compare, but since then you've been training with men as teachers, especially I know as you've transitioned into Kung Fu, and I'll let you talk about that. But so you've been able to compare a little bit with teaching styles. Of course, you were also very different when you, because you're much younger, and then you were more mature when you started Kung Fu. So it's not an exact comparison, but what do you think, if you could look back, what do you think would have been, or how do you think that all female trainers had influenced you? Do you think you would have stayed in martial arts if it was all men? It's such a hard question. Like, who knows, right?
It's a toughie, yeah.
Yeah.
But looking from at my, yes, I would have stayed. I'm sure, because my male teachers were great as well. But it's of course seeing other women training that hard and being even at sparring with other men and boys. And there was not a difference like, oh, you can't do that. That was never the question. You know, when I always wanted to play football, actually. Lucky I didn't, because I think I would not have been that good. That was never the question in martial arts and taekwondo, that there's, you're a girl, you can't do that. I think that's the most influential part I think it has had on me.
Mm-hmm.
And because transferring to kind of present, the first time I went to Kung Fu and teach the children classes, they were like, I did not know women do Kung Fu. So it was like, ah, okay, still, but you're a girl. So you're, ah, yeah, true,
right.
True.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's the most influential part, that I never had to think if I'm right here or not. I was just in the moment, and everybody was doing their best they could and training very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it a surprise to you when you transitioned to another art, or you sort of started interacting with other schools and other students to realize that your experience is actually so rare?
Yeah, but it took me quite a while. It took me really quite a while. I had one experience in Berlin because I had to stop doing Taekwondo back then from Baden-Württemberg to Berlin. So I had a break and I was like, I just missed it and was searching for something else. And I found an all-female Taekwondo club. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it at all.
Oh, how come?
I don't know. It was this... I was trained very disciplined and hard, and there was too much. Oh, that sounds weird. I don't want to fall into someone's back, but it's like there was a lack of discipline and toughness, maybe also.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it has something to do that there are also men in the room. I'm not sure, but there I do like energies. Those two energies combined, at least at that time. But I also looked at other gyms, and when there was too much testosterone in the room, this is not working as well. So it's you know what I'm talking about. Those, I don't have to brag if I'm a black belt or a yellow belt. I don't fucking care. It's about martial arts. It's just like, let's do something together and respect each other. And I really found that there was. Besides those clubs on those gyms where those testosterone guys are running around, I found more respect in the mixed gyms, like I have now. Mm-hmm. And back then, and the girl and this all female thingy. Back then, it also, again, it's almost 20 years ago. It felt there was more competition between the women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, weirdly.
And so how did you, so you didn't like the female, the all-female Taekwondo group?
Not that, and yes.
Right. And is that what helps you pivot over towards Kung Fu?
I rephrase. I don't get the most of
things. So how did you move from one martial arts style to another?
Okay. Actually, it was hard because this Taekwondo thing felt like I did it for almost 12 years. I was competing, I was teaching, and had my black belt, and it felt like this is one stage of my life that was just like a closed chapter, mm-hmm. really. And of course, I was searching for some martial arts, and I searched for Taekwondo because it was the easiest thing because I knew it, but I thought, I knew it too well. So somehow Kung Fu came to my mind, and it was a coincidence that I was introduced to a guy who trained at my current club now. And I was like, oh, this is a good idea. This is just mm-hmm. felt like a good idea. It just was a gut feeling. And I have to say it was intriguing as well that he said, and afterwards we go and have a Späti beer. which best part. But comparing both clubs now, it both feel the Taekwondo felt like family, and this current one feels like family. So mm-hmm. you when you train so hard and so intensively close together, you need people you really like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to like to see them sweat and to have their sweat on you because that's just what happens.
Yeah, and you have to be okay with it. You have to trust them. You have to. Yeah. You have to know that they trust you as well is equal as important. Yeah, absolutely.
And my Sifu has this unique talent to combine and gather people around him and in the club that just click somehow, even if they just click due to the Kung Fu and the training. But we are we're friends. If there's a birthday, mm-hmm. we're all at the birthday party. So actually we are hanging mm-hmm. around an awful lot. Yeah.
Right. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. So you also came to Berlin for work, right? Or did you come to Berlin for school?
I studied here.
You studied here?
I came here for study. Yeah, I came mm-hmm. right after I graduated in 2001. I came to Berlin mm-hmm. in October and studied musicology. English and German literature, all things I'm not working with right now, but it was great fun to do.
Okay. Yeah. And then you were working for a long time here, right? Doing martial arts on the side, teaching on the side. But what was your main job that you were doing here?
I was freelancing for 7 or 8 years for a little company doing storyboards and animatics. And I was kind of doing everything from marketing, PR, producing. So yeah, it was a little, and I had a fantastic boss, and he hates when I say that because we're friends now. He's a very good friend, very supportive. I've learned so much from him. And yes, and then I am just right before for Corona, COVID, I was thinking it might be good because I was a crap freelancer, really. I should get a proper job with a good health insurance, since I was really crap. And I got back to an advertisement agency where I worked as a receptionist early ages on, and got into the HR department and human resources, and like mm-hmm. really literally all my jobs, I had no clue about it. I just didn't mm-hmm. know what I do, but just most things I do, I start with nothing, and I work my way through it, and mm-hmm. that worked out very well for for 4 years almost. Yeah, 3.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
good. Yeah. And then
because I already started was doing Kung Fu for couple of years, I was not really happy doing human resources and at the advertisement agents. It's just not my cup of tea. I like the people, but I didn't like the job that much. And it was a full-time job. Besides those 40 hours, I was being I taught a lot of classes, and I trained myself also at the weekends and stuff. And I always think the only times when I'm really happy is when I'm teaching or in a gym or something. And these were the only times I was really happy, actually. Mm-hmm. And all, during this time, I also started to teach my own self-defense classes, which took me also a long time to go to get that next step to do, okay, I can do that as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that also was starting self-defense courses and doing martial art also was a reason to leave advertisement agency and to leave mm-hmm. my job and go to the next step and hire at my current job.
So now you're teaching full time.
Kind of. So I'm still doing some administrative, this is a complicated word for me, stuff at the club. And I'm teaching mm-hmm. Martial arts, kung fu, self-defense, all mixed up, and also some gymnastics for kids. But yeah, right. And on the side, I also have my some other courses I teach. So mm-hmm. you can still hire me as a freelancer, but I'm not relying on it. Which is better for okay. me, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. Is this more satisfying for you? This is still a pretty new experience.
It is. I just mm-hmm. do it like I started last summer. Mm-hmm. There. So it's pretty new, but it's really, I just talked to my colleague yesterday. It was the best decision I could ever have made. It is a very, mm-hmm. It's challenging, and it's also physically challenging because I can't teach just standing somewhere and telling people what to do. I'm always I always involve myself, but it's so satisfying and mm-hmm. the best decision I made in years. Yeah, absolutely. Good.
How do you think martial arts and maybe even self-defense, which we'll touch on in a little bit, but how mm-hmm. do you think that might have supported some of the decisions that you've made throughout your life? You said something really interesting about that, and I want to hear your connection with it before I jump in with my observation.
Okay. I think, and I know, no, I just know, if I wouldn't have had martial arts and the discipline and the routine as well, I wouldn't have survived a lot of times in Berlin, mm-hmm. especially in my 20s. I think even if I was not training there really, it just gave me a kind of confidence and belief in my skills and myself I would not have had when I would not have a routine. Like maybe another sport would have done the same thing, but this martial arts and in particular helped me a lot going through these phases also. And that's what I think about a lot, because I said I was competing mm-hmm. as well, and I was not always winning. So mm-hmm. losing made me really strong. And I think that what made things easier, especially being alone here in Berlin, coming from the countryside, which is, mm-hmm. yeah, not the big, was not that big of a deal, but it was heavy. And at times also, if I couldn't, would not had martial arts at work, I wouldn't have made it mentally, mm-hmm. because even during, especially during COVID, it was just so easy just to go out and train with my best friend. That was best thing to keep myself healthy and sane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. The thing that you said that got me was when you were talking about getting the job in HR at mm-hmm. the advertising agency, mm-hmm. and you had said, you know, I had no, like all of my jobs, I had absolutely no idea what it was all about, yeah. but like with everything else, I just jumped in and figured it out. And yeah. that is exactly how martial arts are traditionally taught. And I think it helps us understand that it's okay to jump in and figure things out. I mean, obviously not if you're like a surgeon, you know, like don't get that job.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. I could do a heart transplant. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I saw a YouTube tutorial.
That's right. I saw something on TikTok. Maybe exactly. not that one, but with most things you can. And I find for myself with my martial arts training that that has really supported that confidence when I've done that. You know, like, I don't know, I'll just figure it out. I know that I'm going to be able to figure it out somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that why it was also a reason to choose a complete different martial art than I had before. I mean, mm-hmm. we are not inventing the wheel new. There are some elements which are always the same. Sure. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to, when I started, I had not even the idea in mind to climb a ladder and do some belts or even get a black belt or something. Not at all. I just wanted to be like an empty vessel to be filled. And mm-hmm. I think that's just makes you humble. And I think that's the most important thing I learned for myself, to keep myself humble and always be like, I know a lot, but I don't know mm-hmm. nothing.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like, and when you teach children, sorry, I have to, because
no, go ahead.
You teach them one thing and you repeated the other class and they were like, we already did that. So yeah, and now you're perfect and right.
They have
these confidence. I'm like, I don't have that. I do it fucking every day. Like,
right.
Every day.
Right.
And
That's a whole nother level of confidence. Mm-hmm. Yes, the kids have. Yeah. So tell me about the self-defense. You said that you, while you were working at the ad agency, you were teaching on the side and training on the side, and then you added in self-defense, which took you a little bit to kind of put together and start to offer. Mm-hmm. What was the motivation behind doing that before I ask you any other questions about it?
Mm-hmm. The motivation behind it, I was asked a lot from friends and strangers randomly. I was just asked, so you're a martial artist, so you're not scared when you're walking the streets and stuff. And I was like, I'm not scared, but I'm aware that something can happen. Mm-hmm. So I do avoid certain areas and streets and woods and stuff. But you could also always defend yourself. And I don't know. Actually, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I had one or two situations where it worked, but it was not very mm-hmm. critical for myself. And then I thought, they told me about their experience that they had their self-defense classes, mostly with men, and they weren't mm-hmm. really happy about it. And then I thought, maybe mm-hmm. I should just give it a shot. I mean, I have more than 25 years of experience. Maybe mm-hmm. that's just a good expertise to start something myself. And I worked something out together with a friend, and I tried it on my friends and mm-hmm. had fun. It worked. And so I went to my club and offered it to them, and they were like, yeah, just give it a shot. And it just turned out to be very successful, and the good. Women had fun. That's the most important part for me, that they have fun.
Good. Yeah. Was there a challenge in crafting a workshop or a course for you? Were you kind of like, I don't know where to begin, or what do I choose? Or
Actually, not really. There were those basic things just to, most women are really afraid when they to get choked. Mm-hmm. And this is the most frequent question at the beginning at every course, at every workshop, and you probably know that. So I put that in as well, but mostly I was like, walking, you know, stuff like that, just walking, mm-hmm. how to make a fist, so really, really mm-hmm. basics. And maybe even if they want to, they can use their voice, but they don't have to. And I just told them a lot of my stories, how I felt in situations like this and that. And I started from that. I just listened to a lot of my friends and also strangers when they told me stories, and figured it out from there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good.
Good. So that brings me to the next sort of more obvious question is, how did you find Pretty Deadly, and what made you want to certify as a trainer, which is also a little bit of the story of like how you and I met, because you reached out to me. Yeah.
Exactly.
So go ahead.
So a friend of mine, I thought I was first or second year I did my own self-defense courses and classes, and she found one of your themed workshops. I think it was What If She Fought Back or something, that one a Halloween mm-hmm. or something like that. And I just liked the name a lot. Pretty Deadly sounded like this is badass. That's cool. So I started following you on Instagram, and you followed me back. And at one point, you left a comment on one of my posts, and it was really flattered, I have to say. So I was like, I just had this idea, and I felt like I should reach out to you. I did not do a lot of research in that time, and it was just like I should just reach out to you and say, hey, actually, we're doing the same thing. Shall we meet? And that was it. And I think a week later, we met at Treptower Park and walked for 2 hours in the shitty weather in November or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's always shitty weather when I go to Treptower Park. I don't know why. It's always for me when I go to that park. It's always like really crap weather that day. We'll have to change it,
Susie. Yes. And yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I was really pleased about when you reached out was that you just said, like, hey, we're doing the same thing. Should we meet?
Yeah.
In my experience with Pretty Deadly over the years, from the time that I launched it full time here in Berlin, and it really until today, when I've reached out to people who are also teaching self-defense, 9 times out of 10, they're very competitive and they want to have nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. It's been very fresh. I'm like, but I think we should all make a global network and support each other because we're all doing the same thing, you know, for the same reasons. But that's just not always the case with people. Mm-hmm. So I was really, really happy. I was like, oh, finally, somebody reasonable is reaching out and isn't like weirdly competitive about, you know, teaching self-defense to women because we're women and we just want everyone to like have a couple of tools. Mm-hmm. So that we're just not so vulnerable all the time. Yeah, it was whatever. Anyway, the competition always confuses me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I can completely feel that. And I just was not thinking about it. And I think especially we women should not have, nobody should have that competition thing going on when it comes to this kind of fight.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was just like, maybe let's have joined forces. Let's do something together, or just how do you approach? That's my approach. Maybe we can do something together or not. Mm-hmm. And it was just I was just curious. Mm-hmm. And you had I knew you had a lot of experience. And as said, I did not do my research at all at that point, but you were really into it. You knew everything about me already. I was like, okay, that's cool.
Well, because, you know, there's that thing in martial arts. I tell this to people who aren't in martial arts, and they always look at me like I'm kind of crazy. But because, you know, there's that thing in martial arts where people who spy, you know, they like go to another dojo and they don't tell that, you know, that they're actually from another dojo and they're there to spy and challenge the sensei or the sifu or whatever. And and I have had kind of mild versions of that experience, even in Pretty Deadly courses, very, very rarely, but it has come up. So I've been a little bit more careful when people reach out, just like, okay, well, who is this person exactly and what's going on? And, but that's really about it. Just want to make sure I'm not going to have to get into a fight, you know?
Sure. I don't want to get into a fight with you, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'll happily get into a fight, but I want to know that I'm going to get into a fight. So
exactly. So we have an arrangement then.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what? If I'm going to defend myself, that's going to be a whole different story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway. So over the time that we have gotten to know each other and spoken and kind of each developed the stuff that we're doing in similar fields. At some point I invited you to certify as a trainer, but you also made the decision yourself. So what motivated you to do that apart from me just like nagging you?
Well, because I never made my yodel diploma, which only is a thing if you're... Do you know the yodel diploma?
No, I don't. But you probably don't know that I am an ordained minister in the Church of the Dude. So...
Oh, okay. So see? We still have secrets from each other. That's nice.
Well, now we don't, actually.
No, we don't. We just told them. Yeah, it's cool. No, it's a very German thing. It's Lorio. Look it up for the non-German listeners. Exactly. We talked about it a lot, and the correct answer would be, why shouldn't I? shouldn't mm-hmm. I sign up and get certified? Also, we also already worked together at a workshop. I know I felt that we clicked. We can work together very mm-hmm. well. It was such a nice and fun experience to assist you at the Girls Gearing Up workshop. That was really fun and mm-hmm. uplifting. And I was it was just this perfect timing. I was like, yeah, whatever. 2 days earlier, I had my black belt test. I was like,
that's
yeah,
right, yeah,
whatever. I just go ahead and we do something else. And then you asked me to join the certification course, and I was like, yeah, sure. Why mm-hmm. shouldn't I? Because I like to spend time with you and being around you, and I just totally respect you as a martial artist. And this is a martial art I do not have any experience in. So how do mm-hmm. you develop your course? And I think that was mm-hmm. the main reason. Yeah.
Did you get anything out of the certification course that was new to you or that you found particularly useful since you've been certified? If you've used any other, you taught a self-defense course after yes. you were certified, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I never really invested much time to do the research on the psychological and mental side of things. And mm-hmm. this part was really in the certification course, like impressive, and also haunted me with some of my own demons and reminded me of triggers I had or how I reacted in some certain critical situations, and was like, okay, that's how the body works. I did that. Mm-hmm. Like that. And also like me reassuring myself that what I already did for years is good, and it kind of matches what you're teaching, so it can't be that wrong, you know, stuff like just reassuring and having new ideas how to approach people, and that they the variety of experiences you can have with people, but you always have the same people coming to your classes as well. It's just mm-hmm. I think that helped a lot.
Speaking of demons, just for our listeners, during Yulia's certification, she certified her live training and the online training with another trainer here in Berlin named mm-hmm. Tato. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned at some point that I have a lifelong fear of vampires. So Yulia decided to wear a vampire themed t-shirt every single day.
Yeah.
Just to challenge me. And now I think it's safe for me to make this announcement, actually. I hope, because I'm usually told that I can't do it until a certain date, but I think I can do it, that we will be doing a Fearless Vampire Killers workshop for Fearless, for Final Girls Film Fest here in Berlin in February. Wow. Check out our Instagram and I'll get it on the website at some point. Yes. So, and yes, I fantastic. Invite you to assist me with that, because you have no fear of vampires, and I have all the fears of vampires.
So, and I have my Buffy the Vampire Slayer shirt, so yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you've got it. You're ready to go. But I want to go back to something else you said, which was really, both for me, it was very touching, but I think it's also a really important point. You said that, you know, the things that you learned from the certification course made you feel like what you had been doing over the previous 4 years, like, you know, you weren't, that it was good and you weren't so far off from what I was doing. And, mm-hmm. and it was really good to have that kind of validation. And I think that that's so important because self-defense is not an actual thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no real category. There's no one martial art that's self-defense over another martial art. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's actually not really anything.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's no guidelines, there's no regulation, there's no governance, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. So when you create a self-defense course, and I think I would say, I mean, to be very realistic, I would say about 70% of people who offer self-defense courses do it because they truly want to help their community. And I say 70 because I know that there's about 30% who are like, oh, hey, there was a crime in the neighborhood. Let's make some easy cash. Mm-hmm. And literally because I've heard this from people that mm-hmm. this has been a motivation. So, but I would say 70% at least really, really truly are committed to helping their community. And yet we have no idea, you know, like, is this good? Is it not good? Is it helping? Is it not helping? I don't know. And as the instructor, it's almost impossible to tell because because you're there as a black belt, you know, or if you're like a cop or an ex-military person, maybe you're in that position, whatever it is, you're in a position of authority. And not just authority, badass authority, right? And you're busy demonstrating people over the duration of your course or your workshop just how badass you actually are, right? So at the end of that course or workshop or class, when you ask people, so, you know, was this useful to you? Did you like it? They're not going to disagree to your face because they're scared of you. Exactly. You know, like no matter how supportive and loving and, you know, open and all the things we can try to be, they're still kind of scared of you. So we're never really, really going to be able to be sure just by getting direct feedback from people and follow up emails and stuff. It's the same thing, you know, especially there's a book called crap. Now I mentioned the name of this book and I can't remember the name of the actual book. It's a book about women and data and design, and it's such a good book, and I can't remember the name of it, but it talks about how women reporting their experiences is an unreliable data source because a lot of women just won't report stuff because we've learned from experience that it doesn't matter if we report things because it's not gonna have an effect.
Yeah.
But the other reason, and I don't remember if this was touched on in the book or not, but it's something that I've observed, is that often women will kind of default to being agreeable. Mm-hmm. Even in a written report or a survey, if they figure like, well, a bunch of people are going to read this and, you know, I don't want to like stand out too much from the crowd. So, right. And we're kind of like, you know, I want to let them know that their work is important or what, you know, we have all this socialization of people pleasing and non-confrontational and all this stuff. So whether it's an email or a form or whatever it is, or you just ask face to face, I feel like you're never really going to get the feedback that you actually need. Occasionally, yes. But again, for the most part, no. So your statement of, you know, feeling like, okay, you know, the things I've been doing over the past 4 years have not been completely off.
Yeah.
They've actually been really good and they're aligned with what other people are doing that's good. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to be outside of something and observe rather than like in the middle and inventing it. Mm-hmm. I think is really, really important for trainers. That's an important thing for me to hear. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for other trainers to hear as well, because martial arts, since most of us are martial artists, some of us who are certified by Pretty Deadly are fitness professionals, but all of this stuff is very social.
Yeah.
You know, so we spend a lot of time with other people around the same skill level goofing around.
Yeah.
I mean, we're training, not goofing around. We're professionals and we're training professionally all the time. 100%. Hard, professional, training, very serious, all the time.
Damn, yeah.
But so we sort of forget if we're going to do a self-defense course, we might not notice that like, oh, I'm the only one out here doing, like, I don't know. I have no way. I don't have colleagues I can ask. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's important to be able to connect with other people who are doing that, to talk to people who have been doing it for different lengths of time, from different parts of the world, is one of my favorite things about Pretty Deadly is learning from women all over the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going on a rant about this, which I don't need to do, but I just think it's something I hadn't really thought about, except it's actually why there is a certification program. Mm-hmm. So obviously I did think about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what's happening in my brain right now that's filled with cheap Christmas chocolate? I don't know.
And cheese.
And cheese. And walnuts.
That's good for your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's actually what it is. And also, being a martial artist and trainer at a certain level, when you're getting higher in rank, I mean, I ask when their friends are coming over who are higher than me, is it okay to give you feedback? Because normally you mm-hmm. don't do that in this hierarchy. But yeah, if mm-hmm. you ask, and it's okay, can I give you feedback? And the instructor level 3-4 says, yes, please give me feedback, because otherwise I can't improve myself. That's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. And I also, when other students tell me, do it different, is that correct or not? So please do so. In a mm-hmm. gentle approach and in a respectful approach, mm-hmm. of course. But that's how we roll.
Yeah.
Without feedback, I can't get better.
Yeah.
And I want to improve and get better.
Right. But mm. yeah, you're exactly right. You reach a certain level and the playing field becomes a little emptier, you know, mm-hmm. the farther you go.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't really anyone to critique you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you reach a point where you know, I mean, the ideal for any teacher is that their student surpasses them.
Yeah.
I am not going to say that I have not surpassed my teacher. I'm mm-hmm. very 1000% aware of that. But yeah, at same. Some point, he's not going to be around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then mm-hmm. who do I ask? You know, who do I get feedback from?
Yeah.
Because right now he's, you know, him and a couple of other people that I trained under are the only ones who are kind of like in a position to critique my martial art.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's, I think you're right to ask and to offer as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, which takes mm-hmm. a lot of confidence though. I mean, I think lower ranked people might feel a little weird about like, can I critique you?
Mm-hmm.
Especially yeah. because black belts oftentimes in traditional martial arts hierarchies, it's like, oh, they're a black belt, you know, oh, mm-hmm. they're like on this big pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes yeah. I really have to, cause you know, I'm now a double black belt, whatever that means. It's just like but I still want to learn. I need the critique and the feedback, and coming from this Taekwondo black belt to this other kung fu thingy. Of course, I have an experience in training and martial arts, and also how to teach. But it does not mean that I don't need feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And even yeah. I train with people the same level I am,
mm-hmm.
and I really want to see myself at the same level, even though I do have more experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like
yeah.
That's always a little bit tricky to tell some of my my friends as well. Then like, hey, by the way, we're training for the same thing, so I do need mm-hmm. constructive criticism. Like mm-hmm. you do.
Right.
Point is constructive.
Yes. I trained when I was training for my first black belt. My training partner at that time was this friend of mine named Stanley. This was in Los Angeles, who was also training for his black belt. And the way that we were learning ninjutsu with my sensei is we actually use manuals.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. But so our black belt test was the entire manual. You know, we had to do, I think for that first level, it was like 28 techniques. I can't remember anymore, mm-hmm. but you know, it was the entire thing. So mm-hmm. we were basically just going through the book and training literally mm-hmm. everything. And because we were at the same level, we were at about the same skill level, and I'm talking about this because it's that sort of like not actually giving constructive critique. This was a joke that we had between us, but we would do a technique and we'd be like, how do you feel about that one? Yeah, I feel like that was okay. Okay. M for master. We would put down next to it, master. And then we go on to the next one. But as a joke, because it was difficult. We could critique each other to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it's kind of like, well, I mean, I guess it's good. Feels good to me. Feels good to you. I don't know, because we don't know, you know.
Exactly. Unless your Sifu Sensei has a look at it and says,
yeah,
maybe good, maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it can be difficult as you continue. You know, who do you continue to learn from? And you know, I have stayed with the same martial art for my entire martial arts life. because I find it endlessly fascinating. There's just more and more. There's always more stuff to do. There's always more stuff to learn, deeper to go. And it, my rank, my belt level has been kind of stagnant at, you know, since I left Los Angeles and blah, 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 blah. But regardless, whether you change and start something new or whether you stay with the same one, you know, like at a certain point, it does become more challenging to find the people who will give you the feedback so you can keep growing, because I think that's all of us, all any of us really want to do, like us lifers. You know,
I hope so. I hope that they want to learn. I mean, some are fine with what they have. I don't want to do the same thing for the next 25 years. Not at the same level. I just want to, learn.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you could, though, because if you keep training, you're always going to get better. You know, you're always going to learn more things. You're always going to, like, get a deeper understanding if you're open to it.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's the thing. I just like, whatever. And that's why I always try to look at other stuff as well. I mean, doing those might be completely different, but it just, it helps me to understand my Kung Fu style much more and dig deeper in there. Because martial arts are somehow connected somewhere. And I also need, what I mentioned earlier as well. I need someone who teaches me. Something completely new, some that I just can shut off my brain for like 2 hours and be completely exhausted and bruised afterwards and be like, okay, cool, now I can think again.
I know, that's a really nice thing. When I came to Berlin, I joined a dojo, and in the way that I was trained in martial arts is if you come from a different school and a different belt ranking system, then you start at white belt in somebody else's dojo, which I was totally fine doing and hadn't realized until I did it, like just how freeing it was. I was like, oh, this is, I have no responsibilities. This is fantastic. I could just learn. How wonderful.
And actually I felt kind of same when I did the certification course with you, because I was like, that's her style. That's what she's telling me. I just go for it and do it. Probably I have a quicker understanding and I can connect the dots, but I just couldn't be there. I can just be a student.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It's nice to just be a student sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Well, what are you going to teach us about vampires?
What I can teach you about them?
Yeah. How are we going to kill those vampires?
Oh, we can't tell them now, Susie. They have to come to the course. They have to come to the class. Good. Eat a lot of garlic.
Yeah, well, I do that. I slay everybody with that.
Good. Good to know. I eat them before as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just clear the whole room. Hi. We just say in a very breathy way, hi. And they all run off.
Cool. All right. That's your kind of self-defense, I see.
Yeah. I like to be subtle. You know, I'm a ninja.
Exactly. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Is there anything you want to share?
Is there anything I want to share? Actually, I think what we all talked about, like almost an hour, which was fun, by the way, very, very short, that all breaks down to respecting each other, respect for oneself and respecting martial arts and martial artists, no matter if they are man or female or whatsoever, just, stick to each other and empower each other. That's I think the most important thing we can do, and what we said earlier, join forces and fight the good fight.
You have been listening to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. You can learn more about who we are and what we do and how to find a Pretty Deadly course near you by visiting our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com. And if you're a fitness or martial arts pro and you'd like to enhance your instructor skills, our certification programs are open for enrollment, and you can find them on our website at prettydeadlypro.com. This podcast is produced by Singe Network for Pretty Deadly, recorded in Berlin, and our original music is the track Icarus Wish by Berlin band Dead Centuries, used with permission from the artists.